Good afternoon. Welcome to this episode of the series of interviews you're having with 2024 primary candidates. We have Daphne Andrews on today, and she's running for House of Delegates in District 99. So, yeah, please introduce yourself.
My name's Daphne Andrews, just like you said. I'm a West Virginia First person. I love our West Virginia Pledge, where it talks about Mountaineers are always free. I'm a constitutional conservative. I believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm a defender of the First and Second Amendments. And there's so many layers to this next one. I want to protect our children. There are so many things that are happening in our state that we need to fix. Our children need us. I'm definitely no to solar farms, no to climate change, green energy, any of that woke ideology. I believe in fiscal responsibility. My children are grown. I had 5 children. Most of them went through Shepherd. And the first thing they asked me when I told them that I was going to run, they said, "Mom, please bring jobs." So I made a vow to them that we would look to get American businesses here, do away with that inventory tax. We need viable business. We need to grow this state. I know it's not a big topic these days, but I don't believe in the mandates, masks, and the COVID vaccines.
Okay.
I am married. I've been married to my husband for 29 years. We raised 5 children, moved to West Virginia in 2006, where we raised our kids through the Jefferson County schools. And like I mentioned, all of them went to Shepherd, with the exception of one child. He didn't make it past the 10th grade, unfortunately. But that's why I'm running. I never thought I would ever do something like this, but like everybody else, I've been knocking on those doors. You know, we're fed up. It's time to do something.
Okay. So you mentioned, thank you for introducing yourself, a number of issues. What would you say in your mind is the most important issue, like facing West Virginia right now?
Well, I've been hitting doors, and I think the doors that have been very touching and very emotional have been the neighborhood next to St. James Church, which is Crosswinds. These solar compounds, the whole green energy projects. You know, my opponent, Wayne, he's the founder of the green energy for our state. And from what I understand from other delegates, the lobbyists are in and out of his office all day. We're not preserving our coal and our fossil fuels. So I would say 2 big ones is that, you know, the green energy. I'm worried that we're going to lose our state to these leftist groups. And the other one is our children. Like I said, there's a lot of layers going on. I read a story, or actually, you know, something that happened recently in Boone County, where the families were calling CPS on, I guess, the parents of the children. They finally intervened, and they found the skeletal remains of one of their children. That's just unacceptable. I just unacceptable to me. And I know there's other things from, you know, being able to adopt and the foster care system. There's just so many things that are happening to our children. And with the puberty blockers, I don't know if you know this, there's a loophole in that one bill that passed. It was gutted. You know, if the parent says that, well, my child is depressed and they suffer from dysphoria, oh, here, you can now have these puberty blockers.
Oh, you know, if I might interject, I did see that.
Yeah,
Tacubo pushed that.
Tacubo.
Yeah, well, right. I was wondering about that. So we don't really have a strong protection. So you would fix that if you're a delegate, or try to fix it?
Yes. Along with some other delegates that I've spoken to, apparently it didn't even come up in legislation this time around. No one brought it up. It passed last time, 2023.
Right. Okay.
I would work on fixing it.
I had a question. So you said Wayne Clark, he's a founder, well, I'm paraphrasing, of green energy, meaning what? Or did I get it wrong?
You did not get it wrong. He's the founder of the Green Energy Caucus for West Virginia.
Caucus, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you watch the State of the State address. His invitee was Tiffany Lawrence. If you're from Jefferson County, you know who that is. She's a Democrat, left-leaning. She's part of these solar organizations. And they dumped a lot of money in the fourth quarter last year into his, you know, his finances. They donated a lot of money into his.
He was, yeah. So I remember there was lobbying, like a Steve Stolifer was lobbying for inherent right for solar farms. And did Wayne vote for that?
So Wayne was either the sponsor or the co-sponsor of, and you're talking about the doing away of, I have the bill right here in my hands, doing away with the local zoning, correct? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's it. Yep. So in 2022, it was introduced the first time where Wayne was a co-sponsor along with Paul Espinoza, Jason Barrett. And so Bill Ryan and I was against it. He invited Trisha Jackson and Jennifer Krause to come down to the Capitol to speak about it. And Patricia Rucker is the one who killed it. And then Wayne thought, well, let's try introducing it again. He introduced it. He was a sole sponsor. I have it right here. In 2023, House Bill 2459. And the last sentence is the most important one. I have it highlighted. That exempt wholesale generators are permitted use in any zoning district. Mm. He didn't introduce any of these bills this year because, you know, he's up for re-election. I was kind of disappointed in all these forms because no one brought up solar. I'm like, hello, bring this up. We should be talking about this. This is dangerous. I learned today, I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook, that I'm not either. However, I learned, let me find the page. I wrote it down. I learned through a constituent that the Cabletown project, it's managed by DeLauter and Sons, the Maryland company responsible for all of the Cabletown Road solar project environmental violations they have closed. So there's no restitution for any damages they have caused. So my question is, well, what damages have they caused?
You mean the Blake Solar Project?
Yes.
What do you mean? There was a lawsuit about it? What are you saying?
I haven't dug into it. It's just that a constituent had, I guess, did some research and called the DeLauter and Sons and learned that they have closed their business. And they were responsible for any violations or any environmental violations. They're supposed to take care of it.
No.
They're no longer in business.
Yeah, I know there's been several filings, and I've complained myself, and I have some on our website, visionroot.org, West Virginia Department of the Environment, although I don't know exactly what you're talking about. But I mean the DeLauter thing. Yeah, so solar, yes. So that's clear. That was one of my questions about that. Talking about freedoms, one thing that has been on my mind, you know, the House failed in 2021, I think it was, to reel back or reel in Governor Justice's mandates. You mentioned, you know, you're against COVID mandates. Those were gutted by the Senate. Those were gutted by what I call the wrongly named Trump. Mr. Trump in Berkeley County gutted what was a pretty good bill in the House. He completely destroyed it, and then it was gone. But that's never been brought up. I think, maybe we don't have the COVID crisis now, but it could easily come up again. Do you think that should be fixed?
Absolutely. I work in the medical world. During COVID, I was working on the front lines. I had the bad COVID the first time around, 2020. We were wearing full PPE. How do you explain how I got COVID? We were very careful. You took your clothes off before you left the building, and you had to put it in a plastic bag, wrap it up before you left. Why were we last? I mean, we should have been following Florida. Florida did the right thing. The best immunization to these, you know, to COVID or any type of big disease like that is catching it, having it, building up those antibodies in your system. It just didn't make any sense at all. A lot of us were all angry. We just did not understand. We should not have been last. We should have been open.
Yeah, agreed.
Look what it's done to, yeah. And I know everybody talks about the children and their education suffered. Yeah, I watched my youngest son. I mean, he did okay through the, the online classes. However, a lot of his friends did not. Some didn't graduate. I was on the other end of society. I'm dealing with senior citizens, those that have, mild cognitive impairment. Now it's full Alzheimer's, dementia. It shortened their life because they were isolated. They weren't taking care of themselves. So I'm all about, we need to change that. I wouldn't put it past the world that something else could happen. We better be ready for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
And speaking of.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And speaking
feel
of
free.
Freedoms, I got this letter in the mail today. I was so tickled pink that the West Virginia Freedom Caucus have endorsed my candidacy.
Okay.
I also received the endorsement from the Medical Freedom Pact as well.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Yeah. So, talking about medical freedoms, you've already mentioned that. Would you support legislation for religious and conscientious exemptions? And, what do you think of Governor Justice vetoing that partial bill that he just vetoed?
I was very angry he vetoed it because I do support that, the religious exemptions, the homeschoolers. And, I've done some research on the whole vaccines. I don't want to say that autism is related to it because there's no definitive information about that. But when my kids were young, their number of vaccines was probably this little. Today's children have this many vaccines. They're over vaccinated.
Right.
It's crazy. I was very disappointed that he vetoed it. I don't know if it's because he worked in the schools. He was a coach. I met him before he ever became governor. My husband was the basketball coach at Washington High School for 10 years. He invited us every year down to his school to play against his kids. I don't know if it's just part of that. Maybe the unions pressured him. I don't know. Anything's possible. Very disappointed. Hopefully we'll elect the right governor this time around, and we need to reintroduce it. We really do.
Yeah, I think... Well, I don't think. I know Clay Marsh, the head of, I think, WVU Health, is one of his advisors. So that's a big conflict of interest, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That might have something to do with that. But in any case, so that's clear about what you think about that. What about, election integrity? So I know that each county can decide, about their election equipment.
Yes.
I know here in Jefferson County, that's not really your purview since you're running for delegate. But however, the state does make the regulations. So should the state allow these kind of electronic voting machines and tabulators? I was reading in Arizona, even though they, have paper ballots, if you vote in person, they're still counted by a machine. And the machines screw up. They're not accurate. So my question is, what will you do to ensure election integrity? Should we make some changes? Can we just, and why did we even get these machines? We didn't have them before. What's the point?
Great question. I have worked the polls every election up until now that I'm running. And I was always impressed with Jefferson County. I like the machines that they use because it's not connected to the internet. It goes on a thumb drive. So your vote goes onto a thumb drive. The checks and balances between the Democrat and the Republicans, we're all working together to ensure that, those votes are safe. And then you get your printed copy back to you and you can check your vote with the little tickets. What I learned from my friends in Berkeley County, their system's completely different. So I believe in uniformity in this instance, what makes sense. I think the state should be uniform. We should use the same system for everybody. Why is it different from one county to the next? Because now you're, in my opinion, you're creating doubt.
So are you okay with the electronic voting machines, you're saying?
What Jefferson County uses, the tabulator, I like the tabulator. However, paper ballots are probably best, but just like you said, they screw up too.
Well, I don't think if they're hand counted. I mean, That's what a lot of people are saying. Well, the thing is, I'll give up my own perspective. At least once recently, I was negligent to read what the paper ticket actually said. And I'm sure not the only one. So if it actually matched my vote, and then you feed it into the machine and the machine says, okay, whatever. But according to, I'm following some of the stuff in other states like Arizona, and their machines are screwy. They have a different total on the internal part of the machine and the external. And, the state says they'll decide one over the other, and it's not actually always conforming to each other. So, in other words, it can screw up. So,
it can.
And also, who's checking it? Unless there's actually a hand recount, which there probably very rarely is, then, who knows? So, I guess what I'm saying is, why should we introduce so many unknowns?
Exactly.
That's my view on it, I think.
I know the tabulators that are used in Jefferson County, at the end of the night, we have to count, all the votes that were used that day, and they have to match what was fed in that machine for the little thumb drive.
So in other words, whoever signed in, say 250 people signed in at a precinct, you have to have 250 ballots.
Counts.
A good check. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll leave it at that. I mean, you said you would prefer paper ballots, if I heard correctly, but you're okay with the current systems that the
state uses. With the tabulator.
Yeah.
But it's not the same for each county, though. I know Berkeley County uses something different.
Yeah. Well, I think, so here in Jefferson, as you're probably ascertaining, I'd like to see it, hand-counted paper ballots. But... So I know that we were talking about fixing the bill about gender, not allowing gender surgery. So that's a good thing. What about, now this is something our nonprofit deals with, teaching the benefits of sexual abstinence before marriage. So here's my kind of question. Well, one, what if anything can we do at the state level to strengthen families, meaning husbands, wives, and children? Because do you think that is really the core issue of all other issues? And that's one question. And I guess the related one is, should we emphasize more instead of abortion? What I'm trying to say is, instead of focusing so much on abortion, how about if we take it a step back and emphasize in schools and so on, which was quite the thing, especially a couple decades ago, helping children learn that they shouldn't have sex before marriage, which most of all the parents I know agree with, emphasizing that more, and then 80% of abortions could be avoided. So I guess two parts, break down the family. What's the significance of that? Is that a core issue? And what, if anything, can be done by government? And also, regarding the issue of abortion, should we rather step back and more emphasize the pre-step and not put so much focus on abortion? How about if we do better education and maybe we could avoid 80% of the abortion? But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. So I grew up in Loudoun County, where I'm at this very moment, because I work in Northern Virginia. I remember in high school when we had to go through the sex ed courses, they did talk about abstinence and waiting until you're married and going through the details. We need to get educated. We need to promote education in that sense. We need to bring back what family's about. I get it that there's single parent households. Well, we can incorporate education in that too. We are failing, that part of family. And that's why I think the whole abortion story is more prevalent than family. And I also believe, I know this probably won't happen. And I mean, it could happen in our lifetime. Who knows? Ever since they did away with God in schools, I think that's the downfall of all of this. But I would really like to see a group of us get together and really create some good education for our young children, high school level as well. What the importance is about family. Waiting until you're married. We have, our kids today, You know, they forget that their body is their temple. They need to treat it like that. It's really unfortunate. Yeah, I blame a lot of things, from media to all this social stuff that they watch, the absence of God. And I get it. You know, there are times where, you know, my husband's worked two jobs, or I've worked two jobs, but we never let God not be there. You know, God was always the center of this family. We made church every Sunday, no matter what. You know, I think that's what's missing today. We need to create some kind of education platform about the goodness of family.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, to me, it's very simple. I try to talk about, sometimes, you know, we have different workshops, and we have a lot of things online. But yeah, emphasizing this, you know, here in West Virginia, with 47% of births out of wedlock, you know, outside of marriage, of course we're having all kinds of problems. But you don't hear that much discussion about it, do we?
No. We need to get to the root cause. Like, why is this number so high? Why are girls having children? You know, why is this happening? There's a reason for it. There's got to be a reason for it. And again, does that go back to the viability of good jobs in West Virginia? Are we promoting education, the next step ahead? You know, my husband was a coach at Washington High School all those years, and he's now coaching in Loudoun County, unfortunately. You know, I mean, it's good for him, but he'd love to be in West Virginia, of course. But his philosophy, or what he teaches these young men, he said, put God first. He doesn't care what the religion is. He says, God is always first before you come on the court. Then it's family. God, family. He said, and, you know, get good, do your homework. Your studies are very important. Then it's basketball. So he always promoted that in his kids. And a lot of them turned out very successful. And he would take the time to get to know every one of them to find out, what's your next step after 12th grade? What are you going to do? He encouraged these kids to go and, you know, join the military or go to college. What is it that works best for these kids? A lot of them turned out really well. I would say 85% moved on to either college, military, whatever it is. We hear their success stories all the time. Last summer was the big one. One of the kids called my husband. He said, hey, coach, do you remember all those years ago you gave me that book? He said, what book was that? And he said, oh, it was the A++ book. I read the entire thing. He said, and what happened? He's like, well, I took the test and passed. I started working at Amazon. He said, 6 months later, the FBI called me and offered me three times the amount that Amazon was paying me. I now work at the FBI and I'm doing really well. Just bought my first house in Ashburn. My husband always promotes success. You know, what is it for that child? Maybe, yeah, I feel like, I'm sure teachers do that throughout West Virginia. But we need to promote that. We need to be the voice for these kids. They need to know there's something else beyond, you know, what they're doing now. There's so many opportunities everywhere. We need to bring it to them or help them find it.
Okay. Well stated. I wanted to ask you, do you support, or would you support, or do you, like putting a cap on the amount of property tax assessment increases? I know, like, I've talked to different neighbors, like, I know in instances where property taxes increased in 1 year 130%, double.
Whoa.
Plus 30%.
It's crazy.
And there's no restriction on that in state law, apparently. But in some states, it can only increase like 5% a year or something like that. What do you think about that issue? That seems like wrong.
That's awful. So knocking on doors, a lot of the seniors that I spoke to, they've asked me, can we do away with that once we turn a certain age? Do we still have to pay this? We're on a fixed income. I said, you know what? I'm going to work on that. I agree with you. It's crazy. You go to this, you go want to go buy a car, they're going to tax you. You go tax, you get your tags, title, all that stuff. They tax. Everybody's taxing you. And then next year you get a property tax. You got to pay the property tax. Yeah, it's outrageous. We need to do something about it. I'm okay with putting a cap. I think that's very fair. I mean, we
Yeah,
have
I mean, it seems like it.
$290 million to allocate to form energy. I don't have a problem with capping the property tax. I'd rather do away with it, to be honest with you. The smaller the government, the better.
Yeah, well, that's right. So here with our, I know that's not a really a state issue, but I know here in Jefferson County, we're paying, including our excess
Oh,
levy,
yes.
76% of our
It's
property
crazy.
tax goes to the Board of Education. Approximately 40 or 40 some percent is excess levy, making it totally 76%. Yeah, that is a lot. What do you think? Again, shifting back to the voter integrity issue, do you like automatic voter registration? Like, I'm not sure how long
No.
we've had it, but we now have, like, when you go to the DMV, you're automatically registered to vote. Do you
Nope.
think that's good or
I don't like
bad?
that. I don't like it. I'll tell you why. Years ago, when I had to renew my license, I don't remember checking any box. But apparently they updated my voter registration and they changed me from a Republican to an independent. And of course I had to fix it right away once I learned the problem. And the other thing is I'd rather voter registration, we fill out a form, we sign it and we submit it. That's, I don't know. You just don't trust the internet anymore. I don't trust people filling them out online. How do I know it's real?
Well, also, there's been this come up now about that different the US government is even encouraging different illegal aliens to register to vote. Of course, it's not
Yes.
legal, but apparently there's no one who actually checks their citizenship. So, like, if you go to the, I guess it's true in West Virginia too, the DMV, and you check a little box saying you're a citizen, no one looks up whether you're a citizen or not, and you can vote.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
As far as
We
I'm
gotta
pretty
fix.
sure that's true. I mean,
We gotta
what
look
I
into
mean is,
that.
I know they register you, but I'm pretty almost 100% sure, even though you check that box, no one actually looks up whether you're a citizen or not. It seems like that should be fixed.
That should be like number one thing to check. When you get a job, they check.
Yeah, so I
They should
think
be checking
that
there.
could be and should be tightened up. On a more
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
yeah, I think we're coming near the end, but what about like one issue here that doesn't get a lot of people in I live in Shannondale, by the way. People talk
Oh, very
about it
nice.
here, and that's a big community, as you know. Like,
Yes.
I think just Shannondale has like 1,300 houses. I think Shannondale. Down Mission Road, there's got to be at least 4 or even 5,000 people. So we've got that one road. Let's just round it off and say there's 5,000 people. We've got one 2-lane windy road, and there's a fire or something, God forbid, like a forest fire. There's no other exit. And say there's an accident. You're like, so would you support getting funding for some kind of exit or road out south, either over the river or into Virginia or whatever? It seems to be a safety issue, or what do you think? Or
That's been a
is.
hot topic on the mountain. It's come up so many times. I feel like it's half and half with your residents up there. A lot of people want it, a lot of people don't. I know Steve Harris was big when he ran for sheriff. He was very about making a second exit. I survived a house fire back when I was young, 1978. And for me, in a personal opinion, yes, you need a second exit out of there. We've had a lot of brush fires. We've had mountain fires. Look what's happened in past Berkeley County,
Yeah.
Morgan County. They've had a lot of fires lately.
It seems like
It's just
to
like
fund
waiting
it,
to happen.
well, maybe you can clarify if you know, but I don't think the county can do it by itself. I think it would require some state funding or something.
That would make, and I would be okay with that. If it
Okay.
saves the lives of those people on the mountain. Absolutely. Like I said, I survived a fire when I was 5 years old, and That's an awful, I would hate to see that happen up there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right. Well, I live further north, so it's a lesser distance, but especially people who live further south, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I guess in closing, maybe you can just bring up anything else you think maybe you want to emphasize, and how you've mentioned some differences from you know, the incumbent Wayne Clark. What about Mike Gallagher Jr.? If you want to differentiate yourself, I mean, if you want to, from your opponents, go right ahead.
I hate to say that it's easy to differentiate myself from Mike Allers. He's a young guy. He is nice. However, he supports the unions. He was endorsed by the liberal West Virginia AFL-CIO, and they endorsed Biden as well. In a forum, the topic of abortion came up, and he was okay with, I think he said 15 weeks. 15 weeks for abortion. The NCAA PE forum, by the way, I was not invited to that. I didn't even know it was happening. I watched it afterwards when I learned about it. He was talking about the Hope Scholarship, that he thinks we need to do more for it. I felt like he was kind of, trashing it, to be honest with you. He moved here less than 2 years ago after losing his election in Virginia. He's all about education, but works in Maryland.
But wait,
He's not a.
okay, go ahead. The Hope
I was
Scholarship,
just gonna.
he wasn't for it. I wasn't 100%
No.
clear.
The Hope Scholarship, he just says a lot of bad things about it.
Oh.
And I don't know if, I don't think he recognizes that Patricia Rucker put that together. I don't know. He's not too bright about West Virginia. He doesn't know
Okay.
enough. If anything, he should have ran for the school board. He would have been a better fit there. He's quite liberal, to be honest with you, in my opinion, just the way he talks and the things he supports. Yeah. And then when it comes to Wayne, I will tell you, I was the president of We the People Tea Party
Okay.
president for a while, and we helped Wayne Clark get elected. We thought, wow, this guy is going to do great things, only to turn out we were wrong. As soon as he got to Charleston, he was doing all the wrong things. The big one is this Green Energy Caucus. He's all about green energy. I guess it's all, related to Form Energy. If you've done any research about Form, they make the batteries. If the grid goes down, then they rely on solar and wind. So now I'm like, okay, he's doing the solar and wind because of this form. I don't know.
What does
But
FORM mean? Is that an acronym? I'm not familiar with that.
so Form Energy is a brand new company that a former Elon Musk, let me find my cheat sheets real quick, if you don't mind.
Oh,
So
no
Form
worries.
Energy was founded by a prior Elon Musk employee.
Oh,
It's
okay.
not, it's brand new.
Okay.
What they're doing is it's part of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Oh.
It's
Okay.
technology and manufacturing company that is developing and commercializing a pioneering iron air battery. So the investors include Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and China. It's located in Weirton along the Ohio River. So we don't even know if it's safe along the river there. It's electrical grid batteries. So it's supposed to be days
Ah.
of backup power for power plants. But if the energy storage banks, let's see, designed to pack up power plants that are no longer relying on stores of coal or stash liquid gas during intermittent weather because they were switched to renewable energy sources such as solar and wind.
Oh, I get it.
So,
All right.
yes. So Wayne is the founder of that, and he's also tied in with Tiffany Lawrence, who, like I mentioned earlier, she's part of these solar companies. They dumped a lot of money into Wayne's campaign. He didn't mention it all during this season of, in the forums and such. All he talked about was tourism. I like, that's great. What did you do for tourism? Is it tourism that we need?
Well, I shouldn't praise.
What?
say, but it's kind of like ironic. We made the blank solar farm. Welcome to West Virginia. It's not really funny, but you know what I mean? It's great.
And I know he's not door knocking, because if he went to the Crosswinds neighborhood or to what's that neighborhood off of across from the Sheets going towards Harper's Ferry? That neighborhood over there, they're getting them too. These people are devastated. They had no warning. No one told them that they were coming. I had people crying in front of me. They just bought their home 3 years ago. I mean, it's the saddest thing. He's not listening to the people of West Virginia. He's not listening to them.
Right.
I will give our people a voice. I will listen to our constituents. And I made a pact with a few of these delegates that are, who I know are constitutional conservatives of what as well. Our plan is, once we get through that finish line, we have to go to Charleston. We are not going to these lobbyists or corporations, big corporations, parties, dinners. We're not doing any of that. We're sticking together. We're going to Charleston to do a job. We want to bring the boat back, you know, straight. We want to bring back, you know, what's important to West Virginia, such as, if you ever read the Pledge of West Virginia, my favorite line is, Mountaineers are always free.
Mm.
They're not going to be always free if we don't correct what's happening. And that's right now, this election is about the constitutional conservatives, such as myself, Patricia Rucker, Chris Anders, versus the establishment. And it's a big group of them. If you noticed on Wayne Clark's sponsors, who sponsored his kickoff meeting, it was all the established people, like Craig Blair, Jason Barrett, Paul Espinosa, all those guys. Hmm. They're in it for themselves. They've lost their way. Our people need our voice. I want to hear their voices. I want to help. Our children need us.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, well stated. So we'll make this available on podcasts, anywhere you can find it on the Rich Urban Show, where you find podcasts, or at visionroot.org. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, and for your time today. All right.
Thank you, Richard.